Bible says here, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Then you turn to the book of Joshua, chapter number 6, and that's where this story is. And when I've read this many times, we've read this many times here together, I want to look at a few verses here, make a few comments on these. Joshua 6, you know the story, the background. The children of Israel have crossed over into the land of Canaan land. They've went through the Jordan River. By God's great miraculous power, those in Jericho have witnessed this sight. They're shaking and trembling in fear over what's going to befall them. But in the midst of all that, they do not repent. Now, Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I've given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war. Go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. 7 priests shall bear the ark, 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. Now, folks, I don't have time to get into this, but what this is right here is an analogy of the last day war when God wins a battle against the devil for all time and all eternity. That's what all this represents. You got all these 7, 7, 7, 7, 7 mentioned over and over again. And this goes back to the creation day. God made the world in 6 days. 7th day he rested. They marched around this thing 6 days. On the 7th day they got victory. On the 7th day they rested. God's let the humanity be on this earth for 6,000 years. At the end of that 6,000 years, in the 7th day, the Lord's going to come and set up his kingdom and rule in righteousness. And all the walls of opposition are going to fall down. And there's just going to be a remnant saved, like Rahab out of the city of Jericho. Just a remnant, just a house. And there's going to be a few saved. And of course we know that's so, looking at this world. But that's what all this represents. That's what this is all a picture of. And of the coming of the Lord. And notice even they're sounding the trumpet. What's going to happen at the end of 6,000 years when the trumpet's blasted? The great rapture of the church, the dead in Christ, shall rise first. We which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It came to pass that when you make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. What are they going to do when Christ comes? A great shout. Voice of the archangel and the trump of God. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That shout of victory. That's what all this represents. Dead in Christ shall rise first. And all the people shall shout the great shout. I'll guarantee you when we leave this place, go up through the heavens, there's going to be a great shout. I believe half of us, if not all of us, have our tongue stuck out at the devil as we go through the air. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant. 7 priests bear 7 trumpets, ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. Of course, that ark represents Christ. Who's coming back? Christ. Ark of God's Christ. He said unto the people, pass on, compass the city. Let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. Came to pass when Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant followed them. And the armed men went before the priests and blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth. Unto the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and came into the camp and lodged in the camp. So in this little Sunday school hour today, I want to talk to you a little bit on by faith the walls fell. Now it was God's purpose and God's will that these walls come down, but it did not happen without the involvement of God's people. Now when I look at this, I see that there's great power in faith. Not faith in faith, but faith in God. Faith in what God says. Now there's some real lessons to be learned from this story of the children of Israel marching around Jericho. Number one, the work of God is not easy. That's a real lesson to learn here. The work of God is very difficult. And it is met with great opposition. The church, when we seek to gain ground, we're going to face great walls of resistance. Some of you have experienced that. You've experienced resistance like you've never known. That's why you're trying to make up ground for the glory of God. Even in individual lives, not just the church, but individual lives. All these barriers that impede our progress spiritually. And the devil comes against us with all of his power. And the world comes against us with all of its power. And the flesh comes against us with all of its power. Now Jericho in this story also represents the opposition that we face in evangelism. That lost man has got walls built up around him. The lost woman has walls built up around her. Even children, walls of deception and opposition are built up around them. Notice this. Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Notice what's being said there. So you can understand it. Like in the old medieval days, the drawbridge has been raised. The moat's full of water. It is impregnable. It is impenetrable. No one's coming in and nobody's going out. Now notice what it says there. Why is all this happening? Because of the children of Israel. You getting the connection there? When God's word is preached, when God's people are trying to move forward in evangelism, the devil, because of the children of God, builds these great walls to keep the truth out of the mind of the lost man. That's why we face the battle that we face, the enemy within us. The souls of men are protected by massive walls. These walls are so massive that three chariots abreast could race around the city of Jericho. I mean, there are 10, I don't know what it was, maybe 100 feet high. I mean, they're up there. Nobody's going to scale them. It's going to take the walls coming down, the gates being open. Our hearts are shut up against the gospel. In Hebrews 11:30, it says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Now, I can't make a man see. I can't make a man want God. You can't either. But by faith, the faithful preaching of God's word, the faithful praying of God's people, the faithful witnessing of the people of God will have its effect. I know a church in South Carolina that's seen great result and soul saved. And I talked to the pastor not long back. He said, I attribute it all to unrelentless prayer. Folks, that's what it takes. That's why there's so few willing to get involved in this thing. They want it if it don't cost anything. But it comes with a great cost. Unrelentless faith. And unrelentless faith comes by unrelentless prayer. Now we see here that the promised land is to be possessed by the children of Israel. Look at verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, here's the key word, C-S-E-E. See, I've given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof, and the mighty man of valor. This word C-S-E-E, God is saying, by the eye of faith, I want you to see it. You're not going to march around that wall till you see it by faith. You're not going to stay faithful till you see it by faith. You're not going to do what it takes till you see it by faith. You're not going to stay faithful with unrelentless prayer till you see it by faith. That there's something bigger than us. That God's got a plan and God's got a purpose. And God's got a way to bring that to fulfillment. You've got to see it. You'll never see it till you get close to God. That's why there's such a battle. Satan don't want you to see it. He don't want you to claim it. He don't want you to believe it. He don't want you to stay with it. God said, I have given into thine hand Jericho. Isn't that a blessing? Knowing God's given. So why does the Lord make these next statements? I've given it to you, but you got to go fight for it. Is that not the Christian life? Well, sure it is. That's what the Christian life's all about. That's why when God saved you, He didn't take you to heaven at that second. He's got a warfare for you to fight. It's so sad that few people have so little comprehension that they're even in a battle. They've got to walk around this wall and do after the order that God gave them. Now notice here, God blesses the efforts of His people when they're done according to His will. He blesses what we say. He blesses what we do. Here God employs means to carry out His purposes. What's one of God's chief means? He's got the priest out front. Who are the priests? The priests are the prayers. Is that what priests do? Prophet stands before the people, tells them what God said. The priests stand before God and bring the petitions of God's people and those that are lost. So out front of the priest, here you've got in the New Testament a woman by the name of Anna. She served God night and day. And the Bible says with prayers at the temple. What was that? That was her work. Simeon was in the temple. Even though the Lord came by the providence of God, He had these old folks in the temple praying that the Lord would come. You say, why in the world does God do that? It doesn't matter why He does it. He does it. That's what's important. It's not important for me to figure out why God does what He does. The important thing is me to find out what His ways are. Three great requests Moses made in Exodus 33. I've been reading this all week long. Three requests. Number one, He said that, thou wouldest lead me in thy way. Show me thy way that I may know thee. That's the first request. Show me thy way that I may know thee. Second request that He prayed was, God, may your presence go up with us. Second request. Third request, show me thy glory. That's my request today. Show me thy glory. Joshua 6 is not just about work to be done. Here's these priests. This is an analogy and a battle plan from the Lord. You got the men, the priest, out praying. Then you've got the priest blowing the trumpet. And of course, that's God's man preaching God's word. Notice, here in this story, God gave every one of them something to do. There's an exact work for us to do. Now, here's a work that takes great effort. I want you to think about this a minute, what God told them to do. March around the walls, all of Israel, for 6 days. And the seventh day, march around it seven times. Let your mind go to that scene. 3 million people have to be organized every day. You ever thought about this? What this entailed? Have you ever thought about how wide that flank would have to be marching around Jericho to get 3 million people around it in one day? It'd have to be a mile long. It'd have to be. I don't know how long it was, but it's got to be tremendous. They got up early in the morning because it took so much time to organize what they're doing. Every day, march around those walls. You know something I see in that story? I see something that teaches me something about this entire story. For one time in the history of the people of Israel, they didn't murmur and they didn't complain. Isn't that a blessing? What if you'd had to take care of all the women's groups and deacon boards and all the opposition and all the analyzing, all the fussing and cussing That usually goes on when it's time to do something for God. Or if you had to go out in the wilderness and find, hey, fat crowd, that wasn't where they ought to be. Hey, they marched around the wall 6 days and the seventh day, seven times. Man, what a feat that was. Now I'll show you something. It took a lot of discipline for them to do that. I'm talking about monotonous work. Just marching, saying nothing. Did God show the children of Israel that? No, he showed Joshua that. But isn't it a blessing? He found a people that was willing to follow God's man. Without that, they'd have no victory. That's our problem today. We can't get people that either have enough confidence in a leader or walking close enough to God to care to follow the instructions of God's man. They can't get past the fact, well, I don't understand. This don't make sense. Why are we doing it this way? We've done this for a year and nothing's happened. Well, they've done this for 7 days. And it wasn't until the seventh time that something happened then. But they had a disciplined silence. And they obeyed God through God's man. I'll tell you something, folks. You can't put this stuff together. What God's doing in this church, no man can put it together. But man can stop it. You better believe that. If you don't want it, God will go down the road and bless somebody else. But what a privilege and honor that God has brought us this far, thus far. I don't know many churches anywhere that's got the opportunity that this church has. And it's all by the grace of God. That sign says it. And he said, if I have found grace in thy sight, oh Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. For it is a stiff-necked people. That's us, stiff-necked. And forgive us our iniquities, pardon our iniquities and our sins, and take us for thine inheritance. That's all past tense. He's done that. That's that verse right there is past tense. We have found grace in his eyes. Don't ask me why. If I could explain it, it would not be grace. But it's going to take who God has put together. And the devil, with all of his power, wants to tear up what God has put together. This promise was to Joshua and to the children of Israel. They're to march around this wall for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they're to go seven times. Can you imagine the catcalls they heard from the walls of Jericho? I mean, this looks ridiculous. This looks stupid. Folks, what good can come out of something like this? What good can come out of what I've been preaching, especially for the last year? What good can come out of it? I don't see it. I don't understand it. That's exactly what they could have said, but they didn't. For one time, they just listened and did what they were told. What a blessing to find willing hearts. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Nobody trying to get the glory. Nobody trying to get the honor. Nobody wanting to be bragged on. Just the whole purpose is the glory of God. In the middle of that camp was the ark of God. And the emphasis of chapter 6 of Joshua is the ark of God Almighty. Without fully understanding the way of God, you'll never do it. Difficulty. Greatest difficult work in this thing's prayer. You say, well, ain't no work in prayer. You ain't never done it then. Genuine faith obeys even when the command is difficult. This is a difficult command. Oh, difficult for them to do. Dragging these little children out. I mean, here's all of these things that would be demanded out there in that hot sun, the desert, that area of Jericho. I don't know how it was then. It might have been plush with vegetation then, but buddy, it's not now. Boy, God could have done this in such a different way. This seems so unnecessary. All the Lord had to do was what he did at the Red Sea. Did the children of Israel raise a finger? No. Israel did one thing. Oh, Moses held up the rod. And when he did, the authority of the name of Christ and the word of God, the Red Sea, rolled open for them to cross over. They didn't even, listen, they didn't even lift a hand to fight the Egyptians. Who did it? God did it. Why? That's a picture of salvation. When you make a break with the world. And they made that break by the blood of the Lamb and the power of God. And when you make that break with the world, then you face the wilderness where you die to your flesh and yourself and you submit to the will of God, cross over in the Canaan land to gain the inheritance. So why did God not just tell the people in Jericho to drop dead? Why didn't he do that? Because that's not his way now. He did that all in salvation. But in the Christian life, you must appropriate faith. You must obey God. You must learn the ways of God. You've got to mature in the things of God. You've got to march forward for the glory of God. Their work was great effort. And it was an exact work. It was an extraordinary work. They compassed the city 7 days. Joshua got the priest armed and he got them in the right order. Folks, that's so important. What are leaders for? They're leading. Now, if you're sitting around thinking God's going to show you what to do, you don't know God's ways. He's going to show me if I'll follow God. And if I miss God, you don't just run out and get another Joshua. It don't work that way, folks. That's why we got to pray. This is the setup God wants right now. Don't say I'll do it next year. Don't say I'll do it. Hey, this is our day. This is our hour. This is our opportunity. And God's put it together. And God forbid that we take for granted what God's trying to give us. You know what it all comes down to? You got to trust a man's leadership. God lay on my heart to get somebody to preach. You gotta listen. Don't analyze them. Submit to them. Submit to what God wants to do. Let God do it for us. The people worked. The people waited. That's the rough part right there. Now, if anything I've said thus far has bothered you, just get on this altar and surrender to the will of God. Not what you want, not what you think. Hey, beg God. Beg God. That give me enough wisdom to do what's right. That's what counts. Now, let's stay with it. And I'm begging God to give you a heart to follow it. Marching every day once, nothing happened. Nothing. Boy, Joshua, you sure don't know God's mind. There ain't nothing happened. We done this all day long. Ain't nothing happening. Well, praise God, we're going to do it again tomorrow. And they went around again tomorrow, and nothing happened. And they went around the third day, and nothing happened. And they went around the fourth day, and nothing happened. And they went around the fifth day, and nothing happened. And they went around the sixth day, and nothing happened. And they went around the seventh day 6 times, and nothing happened. Boy, Joshua, man, he must have been, yeah, he must eat some real strong supreme pizza before he went to sleep. Because he sure don't know God's mind. God's promises must be expected in God's ways. They must be expected not just God's ways, but God's time. God's got a timetable through which he works. You know the biggest thing? I'll show you something. The biggest thing in the will of God is a lot of times not what to do, but when to do it. As soon as God shows you his will, the devil will come and try to get you to speed it up and do it before the time so you'll be a total flop. Right? When God reveals to a man, like going to the Philippines, for example, If God put his hand on a man to go to the Philippines, it might be 5 years from now when he goes. He don't need to pack up a month from now and go. He's going to miss a whole ball of wax. That's what I'm saying. Finding out God's way, God's will, in God's time. God has a timetable. Only God knows how many times we must walk around Jericho sounding the ram's horn. Waiting time is not wasted time. Hebrews 10:26, right quick. For you have need of patience. After you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Then in Hebrews 11:30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Of course, that's the number of God. Here's this great delay, great time of trial, great time of genuine faith. Their faith had to be purified. God's doing all this for them. He's not doing this for him. Folks, don't let Satan rob you. God help us. Don't let Satan rob you for some Mickey Mouse pleasure of this world and miss what you have. I cannot believe how fickle people are. Fickle. Boy, Sunday morning I'm going to serve God with all my heart and lay out Sunday night. How fickle people are. That's why I don't put confidence in people. My confidence is in God. Buddy, people will let you down. People will break your heart. But when God's going to do a work and we submit, oh God, what a blessing. I finally got a copy, found an extra copy, and I finally got one. Myrtle Baptist Church about 1970. And all those old saints, God built that place on. All of them's up in years. They all lived to be about 100 years old. Because God's blessing was so on them. But I mean, they're old. But God found that remnant. He found that people to do a great work for the glory of God. And they was married to it. And they were submitted to it. They didn't sit around questioning everything. Their heart was in the work. See, I know when I first started out preaching and then through the years, the devil always would say, now you're going to get serious about God. You're going to really do all, he'd always tell me this stuff. You're going to go all the way if you ever pastor a church. Well, what about the one I'm a member of? See how the devil works? Well, if I ever get that position, then I'll get faithful. Well, if I ever see it, I'll be faithful. If God will save my wife, then I'll be faithful. If God will save my husband, then I'll be faithful. Hey, if you're not faithful in the little things, you would not be faithful in the big things. By the 12th circuit, they saw the difficulty. That's what this is about. They started out, they just went through the Jordan River. They said, man, this whole thing's a piece of cake. Buddy, by that 12th revolution around that wall, they didn't think it was easy no more. Not one crack in the wall. There's not one rock's even moved. 12 times, nothing. Why that bunch on the wall's getting bolder all the time. The first day, they probably didn't say nothing. And then as the days went by and nothing happened, the devil's getting bolder all the time. Oh yeah, he's getting bolder all the time. Boy, but that 12th circuit, I'm telling you right now, they knew how difficult that work was, and it was impossible without God's intervention. Hey, we've circled this wall long enough to know how difficult it is. It is an impossibility for us to bring it down. I can't do it. You can't do it. But if I find God's mind and lead God's people God's way, he'll bring them down. That's what he promised. You say, well, I'm afraid we'll get cold as we follow a man. Then go on to heaven defeated. Because if you're not willing to follow a man, you ain't going to get nothing done. I didn't say worship a man. You got to be willing to follow a man when he follows God. And if you're close enough to God, you'll know when he's following God. Your prayer life ain't what it ought to be. You ain't fit to judge nothing. And you'll miss it. Boy, they saw the difficulty. I mean, there ain't nothing happening. Pray, I'm praying for somebody. There's no change. Matter of fact, they're getting worse. They're getting meaner all the time. That's how this thing works, folks. Usually, before God saves somebody, they might have to take one more. Sometimes folks get in the church and they're not saved. And for God to show them they're not saved and they're lost, He lets them go out and have a fling with sin to let them know they ain't got what they need. Well, that old flesh overcomes them and they ain't got no power against it. Elijah told his servant, go 6 times. While we've seen the fire of God fall, it's going to rain. Walk up that mountain. Man, that ain't an easy thing. Walk up that mountain and look for a cloud. Old servant walked up that mountain, come back and said, sir, there's nothing in the sky. He said, praise God, go again. 2nd time. He walks back up on that mountain. You think that's easy? No. He comes back, master, and there ain't nothing. He goes back up about 3rd time, comes back, there ain't nothing. Go again. Go up by the 4th time, comes back, nothing. Go up there again. Go up by the 5th time, comes back, nothing. Go up there again. Goes up by the 6th time, comes back, nothing. He looked in Elijah's eyes and said, surely not again. You gotta go one more time. Cause God ain't let up on me. He's saying it's gonna come. Well, master, I ain't seen a thing. It doesn't matter what you've seen. He said it's coming. He walked back up there and came back down and said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Hey! He said, you better get down from off this mountain, for I hear the abundance of rain. I tell you, there may not be a lot happening, but these souls God saved is about the size of a man's hand. God calling preachers, it might just be the size of a man's hand. But by that, we believe God for that great rainfall and God's great flood of blessings in this world. Cloud the size of a man's hand. Now we see the difficulties and the hardness when you see nothing. What do you do when you see nothing? You keep your eyes on God's promise. You do what Joshua says. Though it tarry, wait for it. This is a trying time for Israel. This is a tedious time. Verse 15 of chapter 6 came to pass on the 7th day. They rose early about the dawning of the day, compassed the city about the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. You know what they did? They did the same thing they'd done every day. They just did it more times. Well, if they hadn't had confidence in God's word, they'd never done it. If everything had to be explained, are you listening? If everything had to be explained, they'd never done it. If they had to see it all, they'd never done it. But what they got their eyes on is God and His word. Boy, this work is tedious. What do we keep our eyes on? God and the promise of God. The work of God is a representative work. You represent people. I represent Him. Most of all, we represent Christ. But faith gives us a refreshing work. The work of God gives us a prospect of victory. That's what it's all about. Victory. The answer to revival. The answer that God would move. The answer that God is near. The answer that God will bless. So they kept their heart in tune with Him. You know what they said? This may be the day. This lap around may be the time. This Sunday morning might be it. This Sunday night might be it. I'm going to stay faithful. If it didn't happen today, hey! Man, it might happen Wednesday, like the coming of the Lord. He promised He's a coming. It doesn't look like He is, but it might be today, perhaps today. That's the prayer. Trying time, tedious time, testimonial time. What they were doing was God's command, continual testimony to the people of the city of Jericho. You know what they're doing? The wicked are observing them. The weak among the children of Israel are observing them. The waiting, those that are not saved, are observing them. Notice they carried the symbol of Christ, 7 priests, bare 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city going about at once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. You know what they done? They exalted the ark of God. You want God around, you don't exalt the Holy Ghost or the gifts of the Holy Ghost. You exalt Christ and His redemptive work. It's what God blesses. The ark of God's exalted. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come, He'll not magnify Himself, He'll magnify me. That ark is what's exalted. Hallelujah. God's presence identified with the ark of God. Oh, that wood, that humanity. Hey, overlaid with gold. Glory to God. The person of Christ being exalted and a marching forward. And the tables of the law are inside and Aaron's rod that budded. And the golden pot of manna. All a picture of our blessed Lord and God and Savior. Boy, our Christ is the bread of life. He kept the law of God. The rod budded in Christ. He bore the fruit. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. God opened the ground and the walls fell down flat. They didn't crumble on top of the ground. They fell down flat. He opened up the earth and it all fell except where Rahab was. Glory to God, there was one that God intervened and God had mercy and grace on that little Gentile heathen pagan woman and saved her by the grace of God. I wonder, I thought about this. I wonder how she was treated. I wonder how little Rahab and her family was treated by the Israelites. Her not being a Jew. Her being a former prostitute, a harlot. I wonder how she was treated. I tell you what, God's showing you and God's showing me. He'll never let the walls fall if you're not going to love and treat right lost people that don't know God. The victory is supernatural. It was special. God gave the victory by faith. That whole town was accursed. But it became a devotion to God Almighty. See, this is the first victory. Let me say this, I'm done. First victory is Jericho. You know what they done? That whole thing was a tithe to the Lord. The first fruits was a tithe to the Lord. Everything after that was not given all to the treasury of God. God let them enjoy the fruit of the land, but that first battle was a tithe to the Lord. Christ is the first fruits from the dead. You want God to bless you? Get all your sins confessed. Get your tithe paid up. Hey, that's what that high priest done. He got his tithe paid. Before he ever went in and took the blood, he put on clean linen breeches and took a bath, got his sins confessed. And he set himself apart 7 days and paid his tithe and went into God Almighty and presented the blood. Boy, it got quiet on that, didn't it? Hey, I'm telling you something. This thing's obedience, folks. You ain't getting out of it. Somebody else pay your debts. This ain't Obama land in here. This ain't robbing from the rich to pay the poor. Hey, everybody pays their dues. Everybody gives what's right in the eyes of God. So I ain't been doing that. Then repent of it. If you want God's blessings, you better repent. Say, well, I missed a Sunday. You owe God his tithe. You spend it on yourself. You've robbed God. Since I don't preach on tithing much, I can mention it all I want to today. And if you're right with God, you're going to say amen. Hey, do what's right. Do what's right. Clean up. Get clean before God. Expect God to do a miracle. Expect God to move upon us and give us what we need. Hallelujah for what God did. He showed the world. He showed the people of the land of Canaan. He showed Rahab. He showed the children of Israel His great power. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. I was going to shut up, but I got to say this right here. Joshua was just another man till God magnified him before the people. And he said, as I've been with Moses, I'll be with thee. And as they feared Moses, they'll fear you. Ain't nobody but God can do that. You listen, all of the begging and pleading and praying in the world won't get that done, but God's sovereign choice. And when God does it, what a blessing. They marched around Jericho. They saw that Joshua knew the mind of God and they followed him. See something else? That whole land went in total fear. Went in fear. Those children of Israel made a commitment. You remember this church? You remember this church? You say you're trying to get members? No. And I don't want nobody else's either. I want them God wants here. You remember this church and you ain't joined this church, you're supposed to. You're in rebellion against God. And if you're not a member of a church, tithing and being faithful, you're a rebel against God in this building. Right now. Every child of God is to be a part of a local body of Christ. And the reason a lot of folks don't want to, they want to rob God. Come if they want to. Run if they want to. No commitment. Hey, that won't get the walls down. Commitment to God, to the will of God, the way of God. Well, preacher, I don't see it. Then why do you think it's faith? If you could see it, it wouldn't be faith. No, God lets you see some of what he wants to do. He'll let you see enough to keep you going. But then it comes to that time. You just got to obey God. God's leadership, you got to do it. Well, what if they take us off a cliff, going off a cliff anyway? Might as well do it following God. That's right. You don't follow God's man, you're going off a cliff anyway. You're just going to be the one leading it. We ain't going off no cliff following God. Hey, we're headed to Canaan land. We're in Canaan land. We're headed to the victory and the power of God Almighty to do it for us. I praise him. And I magnify him. I glorify him. Oh, got about 10 minutes to pray and it'll be time to... 10:46 right now. You clean? You clean with God? Got all that lust confessed? Got all that bitterness out of your heart? Unforgiveness? You clean for God? You've been walking right, talking right, dressing right, presenting yourself right in front of this world? Are you right? Then what are you playing with? You playing with death, buddy. When God brings a church to a serious time like this, it's death, man, to play this thing. I tell you one thing. God bless you if you follow God, but God have mercy on you if you don't. An honor and a privilege that God has given us. We ought to be at his feet thanking him that he would think enough of us. Pass by our way and even offer what he's offering for his people. You say, there ain't no church in America no more going to do this. He'll go somewhere else. He can go to the Philippines. He can go where he wants to. But I'm telling you, he's offering us a great thing. You willing to get cleaned up? You willing to do what God says? Revival breaks out. It's time to go to church. You're going to lay around the bed and on the couch and watch TV while God's people's down there laboring. You're going to get in this thing? Don't you think it's time you got in this thing? Well, I don't have no desire. We'll find out if you're saved. You ain't got no desire. I'd see if I was even saved. Hey, what else we got to live for? This thing's about to blow apart at Wall Street. Everywhere else, it's about to blow up before us. My God's given us an opportunity to do something. The Titanic's a sinking. God's letting us swab the lifeboats to rescue some of the perishing. That's what we can do. I'm going to open this altar up for just a little bit. If you need to come pray, you pouting about something, get it out of your heart.